love Him just like He loved you when He was growing up. Okay, guys? The little fellers, all right. Excited about children's church. Isn't it neat? Just to go and spend that time with the Lord. You know, we're going to love the Lord, our God, and the community of faith. That's what we're drawing forth. Community of faith and strengthening one another. We are moving into the next 40 days. And by the Spirit of God moving in that direction, we are going to strengthen community. 40 days. You have committed yourself for the next 40 days to spend time with God every day. Some will be in the morning, some will be at noon, some will be in the evening in your daily quiet time, in your daily study, in your journal. Some of you, this is going to be an experience of a lifetime. You've never had that opportunity to spend time with God every day, read the Word, and write down something that God puts on your heart. This is going to be a new and exciting. Now, when you do that, we want you to bring that source of energy into the small groups when we gather together. And we're going to have Rick Warren is going to be our Bible teacher in all the classes. And so as that's coming together now, we're going to see some exciting things building up. And you're going to be studying the one another. That's what it is. Love one another. Pray for one another. God is going to be bringing the one another's into capacity right here. So today, we're starting a brand new series in the book of Philippians. Good place to start. A joyful book. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 is where we're going to launch our community. And so, I'd like to read for you, coming out of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Oh, it's good to bring the Word with you. And we're going to be going through the first 18 verses, but kind of as an introduction to the community and strengthening of the community, that is where we are really headed in this day. I'd like to begin reading verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. If you've got your highlight, I don't know if you draw in your Bible, but I do in mine. I want you to underline that word, that last one where it said, fellowship in the gospel. Okay? Fellowship in the gospel is a very, very important concept. Because the fellowship in the gospel, that is the concept in which we can identify what the community is all about. Because community builds upon the foundation of the fellowship of the gospel. Now, what is that? The fellowship. Somebody said, well, fellowship is this. That's two men in a boat fishing. These two fellows are in a ship. Hey, I guess, you know, that's a pretty good concept, isn't it? Two fellas in a ship. I hope it's not snowing. But anyhow, two fellas in fellowship. We're going to be building up community life. We're going to get to know some people like we've never known them before. Because community, real community, builds upon a foundation of fellowship. What are you going to find in the middle of that community? I can tell you one thing. Prayer is what strengthens the foundation of the fellowship. Right in the heart of community life, you're going to find people praying. And you can say, well, how do you pray? Well, the model prayer. What Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus taught his disciples to pray in that light. And you know, sometimes we need some hooks to kind of help us understand and pray. So in my prayer life, one of the courses in which I do in my own life is I use the word acts to pray. How do you pray? Do y'all ever have the problem I do when I start praying, I get sleepy? Do y'all ever do that? Boy, at night, if I go to pray, next morning I'm wide awake, you know. Amen, Lord. Next morning. You know, prayer time is sometimes rough, isn't it? Because prayer is battle. Prayer is not natural. Prayer just doesn't come. Prayer is something you got to connect to, into, and push forward. Prayer. Sometimes we need some guidance. Take the word acts. A stands for adoration. When you adore, you worship Jesus. You say to Him, I worship You, Lord. I worship the Creator of the universe. I worship the One who gives us food. I worship the One who protects me. Worship. All of a sudden, coming out of worship, that begins to bring your motor down where you can begin to connect with God. I worship You. Secondly, confession. And some of us, like Jason, it takes a whole lot more confession time than it does. But anyhow, confession. Confession is agreeing. You know what confession is? Confession is agreeing with God. God, I messed up yesterday with that guy at the office. I gave him a piece of my mind, and I know the commercial says that a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and I gave him a piece of it. But anyhow, you know what? Confession. We agree with God. We tell God, I have sinned. And we're honest enough. By the way, He already knows that, but He's waiting on you to tell Him. Confession. That's what the C comes for. And then there's T for Thanksgiving. All of us have. That's the section that you could really, man, expand and thanking for Him. I thank You, God. I thank You for every one of you. By the way, rejoicing. I thank the Lord for the church. I do. I thank the Lord. Miss Gracie. Boy, if you ever want to smile, get around Miss Gracie. I guarantee you what, you'll get a smile. I am so thankful for people who bring smiles to your faces. People who show love. People of kindness. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Franco yesterday out there in his short-sleeved shirt moving the hedge down here in the snow. I mean, I'm thankful for these young bucks. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And then the S stands for supplication. Supplication means ask God. Hey, you mean I can ask God about anything? Absolutely. You mean I can even ask God about what I'm supposed to wear today if you want to? Does God care about what I wear? Yeah, He does. He don't want you to go out there naked. Okay? He cares. He cares. And all He wants you to do, not that you got to keep up with the Joneses, but God cares about you. You know what? God colors the tulips. God cares about the tulips. And God cares about you. And God wants you just to talk to Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Brother Gary's been asking Him for a long time. Hadn't you, Brother Gary? And He does. You ask God. Hey, that's neat. You're going to find that in community life. You're going to find people who are praying and adoring Him. Because you know, when you begin to pray, think about it. Elijah said, Lord, don't let it rain. Poof, 3 years, dry, not a drop. Lord, let it rain. Poof, here comes it down in the flood plains. Wow, God answers prayer. Adrian Rogers, pray. Him and a couple of other men prayed, don't rain, let's have this evangelistic campaign. Bow, God cuts the rain off. God answers prayer. Moses' sister had leprosy. And God said, Lord, remove the leprosy. Bam! God did it. God answers prayer. So at the heart of fellowship, making requests. And by the way, did you notice that that Paul was from the south? When we were reading it, I rejoice for you all. He's bound to have been a southerner. They don't say that. Y'all come. Okay. Anyhow, he said, I pray for you all. There's rejoicing in this life of community. Because in the life of community, the fact is, there's five principles that you're going to discover during this month. And one principle is, I need others to walk with me. I need others to walk with me. In your private life, Scripture says in Colossians 2:6, He says, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In your private life, in your family life, in Genesis 2:18 says, it's not good for man to be alone. So therefore, walk in your private, walk in your family life, and then in your spiritual walk. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. God says, look, I want you to walk with one another. By the way, did you know that you can be in a crowd and still be lonely? All of a sudden, you have people all over the place, and you feel a sense of loneliness, but community. Community, true, genuine community is God's answer for loneliness. So he says, when you gather together in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you gather together, each one of you, be prepared with something useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide insight. Take your turn, no one person taking it over. That way, you all will learn from each other, according to 1 Corinthians 14:26. God wants us to be having people to walk with us. No one should go through the crisis alone. Miss Lee was telling us about a crisis this morning. No one should go through a crisis alone. No one should go through a divorce alone. There ought to be community with somebody for no help. Somebody ought to stand up. There ought to be Christ in the event that there's a child that doesn't make it through childbirth. That woman shall not be alone. There ought to be family. There ought to be community. Whether it's a crisis, whether it's somebody being sentenced to go to prison, that family doesn't need to be alone. They need to have community. I need others to walk with me. So the community, folks, when somebody loses a job, you need somebody. We need community. The Scripture teaches us, open your homes to each other without complaining, according to 1 Peter 4:9. So let us join together at the heart of fellowship of the gospel, praying people walk together, overcoming the spears of loneliness. Secondly, I want you to know, community life, community works with confidence in Jesus Christ. You're not only just in a fellowship of the gospel, but you have confidence. In Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Confidence. Hey, who's saying this? This is a guy named Paul. Where is he? He's in jail. What has he got on his hands? He's got chains on his hands. But he's confident in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is going to be with him, in him, working through him. You can have confidence that Jesus will hear your prayer. You can have confidence that Jesus Christ will provide somebody to walk with you when times are tough. You can have confidence in Jesus Christ that He's going to allow you to know the purpose in living. And even in the church. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose is www.fed. Okay, is that original? www.fed, what does it stand for? www.fed, that the federal government? No, it's not the federal government. Let's just think about WW. First of all, worship. We want to, hey, the purpose of the church is to worship. Secondly, the next W is to witness. And so therefore, we worship God when we come together and we sing these hymns. Hey, when we pray together, when we have drama, and we're going to have much more drama, right? Right. Okay. And all of that are pieces of the puzzle of how this comes together. We worship. We work together. We witness. WW. And then all of a sudden we find fellowship. We come together. That's what the F stands for. Fellowship. Getting together on the same page. And you know what? When you go over and you feed somebody, hey, there's not only fellowship, but there's going to be evangelism. And then there's going to be discipleship. So, what is the purpose of the church? www.fed. Okay, Danny, what does it stand for? Oh, yeah. All right, let's give him a hand. All right. That way everybody wakes up. Okay, thank you, brother. Hey, that's what it stands for. So you can pass the word on www.fed. And if you commit that, if you'll commit yourself to that, then you will know that, you know what? I'm doing what God created me to do in the church. www.fed. Now, moving along in this line, the second thing that we need, the second principle is, I need others to work with me. I need others to work with me. The Scripture says, as we just read, you are all partakers with me of grace. You're a partaker, worker, eating at the same table of grace. In other words, we need to work together in our purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, God made us to do good works, which He planned in advance for us to live our lives in doing. We need to work together because we're all on the same page. We're all seeking to produce, to worship the Lord. And we need to work together because of productivity. Can two people get more work done than one? Yeah! So therefore, I need others to work with me. Hey, productivity, that's in your private, in your personal walk. Do you know what? About every one of you can do it if you got a buddy. If you got a buddy. In fact, I could ask AJ to walk up here right now, and AJ would do it, wouldn't you, buddy? But if you had somebody sitting with you, and the two of you come up here, would it be easier? Yeah, it would be, as long as you got a buddy. And so now, oh, AJ's saying, what's he doing to me right now? Okay, that's all right, you hang in there, buddy. But it's true. Young people, adults, we need community. We need to be connected. And by the way, it can be old and young that connect together. I can tell you that I'm bragging on a little bit on Franco right now. But I love it when Franco and I go out there and clean the hedge. I mean, that's community. That's you. You like it, Franco? Whew, I'm glad. I tell you what, much more work can be done with two people working as one. It's true. It's true. And I need others to work along with me. And so do you. Because you know what? We get tired in the work. But community, a principle here, community is God's answer to fatigue. When we come together, we get strength. How many of you mothers have ever been on the last nerve that you had? Yes. Hey, amen. I mean, they're strumming the violin on your last nerve. You're tired. You're wore out. You need community, right? You need to be able to say, help! And all of a sudden, somebody says, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Bring the boys over here. I'll feed them tonight. You know what? We need community. Two, we need help. And so therefore, we have to work together with that. We need community. And so therefore, bringing together, just like Kim down here in the zone. Kim was asking Brother Tony, said, Brother Tony, I need to have surgery. And I need somebody to come sit with Robert. And to feed right and learn how to feed Robert, because I can't do it when my arm and I get wrapped up with surgery. Kim is asking for community, isn't she? You know what? We can do that. We as a church can go in and we can help people right where they are. That's community. So at the heart of the fellowship of the gospel, you will discover praying people working together, reaching beyond the abilities of the amazing one. Working together helped you to get your second win and overcome fatigue. But something else, community exemplifies the love of Christ. As we read in verse 8, in Philippians verse 8, it says, "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory of praise." What is he saying? If people want to see Jesus Christ, they're going to look at love being exemplified in the community. That's the reason. For the next 40 days, the love of Jesus Christ is going to be exemplified in your group. You are going to experience love. And not only you, but there's going to be some of those off this church campus who are going to experience the love of Christ by your group. That's simply amazing. What do I need? Principle number 3. I need others to watch out for me. I need others to watch out for me. In Philippians 2:4 it says, "Look out for one another's interests, not just for your own." Oh boy, isn't that contrary? the American way. See, folks, it's not all about me. We need eyes and ears. We need somebody to watch our back. If you think that you don't need somebody to watch your back, folks, you need to think again. Because there's people out there with the knives already sharpened to stab you. You need somebody to step up to help you watch your back. I need that. I need that. And I know that so many of you do too. We need to be of one heart and one mind. In Hebrews 13:1 it says, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. We need to. And then in Ecclesiastes 4:12 it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. What is he telling us here? When you got somebody to watch your back, you can be stronger. I love to tell the story of my brother Walter. One day, New Hope, football game. There's always a football game going on the field and off the field. You know what I mean? And I remember one of the football games that we were doing, and New Hope was playing Caledonia. Oh, boy, rivalry. Okay, all right, New Hope was playing Caledonia, and behind the stands, there was a group of guys that were walking down, and I was walking down there, and all of a sudden, these boys from Caledonia said, you from New Hope, yeah, we're just going to whoop you. What did I do? I didn't do nothing. We're going to whoop you. And then all of a sudden, Walter, my brother, he about my same height, walked up and said, no, you not, he's my brother. Whoa, man, I felt like I was 10 feet tall. I didn't get a whooping that night. But you know what? I had my brother watching my back. All of us, we need people. We need community to watch our back, because two are much better than one. And I want you to see also that community boldly capitalizes on circumstances, which plays a major role in the fervence of the gospel. Let me read it to you as we pick it up. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become more confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Community. What happens? Community boldly capitalizes on circumstances. What was the circumstance here? Here's a guy who loved Jesus Christ. Here's a guy who preached Jesus Christ. And because he preached Jesus Christ, you know what they did to him? They threw him in prison. And people would say, would you say that's bad? Oh, that's bad. But here's what God did it. He said, look, he capitalized on it. He says, if you don't think God's in this thing, ask the guards that are chained to me. 8-hour shift, they don't hear nothing but Jesus. And so many of them came to know the Lord. Ask the other people in the community of faith. Ask them, yeah, man, he's in prison. If he can do it, I can too. Boldness. All of a sudden, these guys got brave because they saw Paul stood up. Paul said it. Hey, I don't know if y'all was listening to Fox this week, but on Fox, I got it on one of the clips that said, talking about this guy that's in jail because he's a Christian. And the reporter said on Fox, I mean, getting it national airways. Some of you picked it up. And those in that jail said, look, if you will just renounce Christianity, we will set you free. And they said to his wife, who was over here in the interview, what do you think about that? And she said, that's what he said. And in essence, she says, I'm proud of him. Because he's standing up for what he believes in. Folks, that's community. Taking the circumstances and using the circumstances for the glory of God now worldwide. Here's a man who's not denying his faith, risking imprisonment, possible death, because he believes in Jesus Christ. And if He does that today, whatever you're going through, wherever you have come from, God says this, I can capitalize on your what you've gone through for the furtherance of the gospel. I can use your experience. I can use you. God said, hey, look at Paul. Yeah, you mean no matter what I've gone through, God can use that for the furtherance of the gospel? Absolutely. Amazing. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. If you're in prison like Paul was, he says, people have learned. But here's the principle. Number four principle says, I need others to wait and weep for me. I need others to wait and weep for me. The Scripture says in 1 Peter 3:8, it says, you should be like one big family, full of sympathy toward each other. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all members suffer. See, I need other people to weep with me. I need other people to care. I need to know that I'm not in this thing all by myself and somebody really cares. Because community is God's answer for despair. That's what He says in Romans 12:15. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep. In the fellowship, in community, what happens is you can melt hearts that are solid ice. By caring. You can take a lemon and add a little bit of sugar with it, and what you got? Hometime lemonade. No matter how sour it was when you just plunked your teeth into it, folks, when it hits that ice and when it's in that cup and there's frost on that cup and there's freshly squeezed lemon in there and there's sugar stirred up in there, oh man, that's good. Y'all ready to leave? I want a glass of it right now. Lemonade. But what did it go through? Take the crushing of myrrh and you get the sweet fragrance. How many of us have been thrown a curve in life? But you know what? In community, you knock the curve out of the park. That's what God says. Modern medicine, it can allay a lot of pain. I was visiting with Miss Carolyn this week. And she said that she had had this back operation. She said, yeah, today I walked from here to right there and back. And then I laid back down and I started pumping. You know what pumping means? That's right. She's hitting that morphine or whatever it was. I don't know. That good stuff. She was hitting those bumps. She wanted to feel better. You know what? A lot of us in life, we need to hit that pump a few times. Now, I'm not talking about the medicine outside the world, but I'm talking about we need community life. Modern medicine can make you feel good. Listen, folks, community can make you feel good when you experience coming together and hitting the button. We need to do that. We need to bring it together. We need to allow the fellowship. Because the fellowship of the gospel builds upon prayer with confidence in Jesus Christ and others in fellowship with those watching their back. Boldly, the fellowship moves forward recognizing circumstances create opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel. And the last thing I want you to see this morning is that community takes the high road leading to rejoicing. Folks, we're not talking about the low road getting by. Sometimes we go through, man, all I want to do is just get by today. Listen, folks, God don't want you just to get by. He wants you to take the high road. And how does that work? The Scripture says, or teaches us as we read in verse 15, it says, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and others also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed to the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Community takes the high road. Paul said, those who think that they're pulling me down because they're preaching for money or they're preaching for their own pride or they're preaching to get their bellies filled, listen, what really matters is not the messenger. What really matters is the message. And he says, get the get Christ out there. Some of them, not going to be right. Some of them are going to give alligators to get people in church. I mean, the little rubber ones, not the big ones, you know, that bite. I mean, they're going to give, but whatever it takes to get Christ out there. That's what Paul said. He said, I rejoice that Christ is being preached. And he says, I'm going to continue rejoicing. Nobody's going to bring me down when Christ is being lifted up. So therefore, community takes the high road, not allowing others to pull you down, but by faith lifting up the message of Christ. Because the fifth principle here is, I need others to witness with me. I need others to witness with me. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In the next 40 days, some of you are going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on Jesus' team. Some of you are going to have the opportunity that maybe you never had before to go out into the community and say, and they ask you, well, why are you doing this? And your response is going to be, because I love Jesus. You've got the opportunity to make a difference. Community. Wow. Community. I need others to witness with me. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so some of you are saying right now, me going out? I'm a little bit afraid to do that. Community is God's answer to fear. You see, two of you can do it. And imagine what the whole bunch of you can. You can do it. God's answer to fear. I need others with me. And God says the community is going to help me. So what do we need to do? In summary, the hope of the world is found in Jesus Christ. Every signal going out with the gospel carries with it the power to transform lives. The good news is for all ages and all people. The fellowship of the gospel walks together overcoming loneliness, works together overcoming fatigue, watches out for each other overcoming defeat, weeps together overcoming despair, and witnesses together overcoming fear. Strengthening of the community occurs through the fellowship of the gospel with confidence in Jesus Christ, exemplified in His love, capitalizing upon circumstances and taking the high road leading to rejoicing because Christ is preached. Hey, do you want to get in shape? Let's join the health club. Let's join the community. Are you ready to join up? Are you ready to make a difference? Oh man, strengthen the community. Let's pray. Father, today, we need community more than ever before. More than ever before, we need it, Lord. Because right now, God, as we're coming together, we need somebody to stand with us. We need somebody to watch our back. We need somebody to weep with us. We need somebody to encourage us. We need somebody to walk with us. And, oh God, we need You. So my prayer now is for the community of faith. Let the fellowship of the gospel really come forth and be found strong. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill Littlejohn went to school for virtually about all of his life there. And as he went to school, came that period of time after he'd gone through and became a doctor that he joined a fellowship of other doctors, knowing how that when somebody was in a severe accident, face was crushed, he learned how to put the faces back together. But that training team was called Fellowship. Fellowship of Doctors. Listen, folks, our world has been crushed. A lot of people have lost the countenance of joy. But through fellowship, we can bring these pieces back together. Let's prepare for a hymn right now. As we stand together and just